It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is California Wine Country time. Dan Berger's out today. Barry Herbst in his place from Bottle Barn. We also have Jason, a manager and the spirits guy at Bottle Barn.
Schneider.
What?
Last name, Jason Schneider.
It's Schneider.
In case you have a lawsuit or something going, you need his last name.
We know each other. We go back.
Okay.
Good to see you, bud.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
It's okay to see Barry.
Yeah.
Also, Michelle Rahm is here from Coffee Strong.
Hello.
And don't tell me.
Annie Barber.
There you go. She told me. There's just too many people in here now. Coffee Strong is a great organization, which we shall talk about. And I love this. Built for Coffee Park by Coffee Park. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with that while Barry gives me a shard. Explain the situation, the genesis behind this, when it began, exactly what you folks do as Coffee Strong.
We are simply a grassroots group that got together after the fires to try to speed along, help our neighbors with the rebuild. And thankfully, we've been fairly successful at that. Just a group of people who just thankfully clicked with all the right parts.
Yeah. And there has been a lot that's been done. Talk about that. I mean, the wall, right?
Yes, the hopper wall. My husband was actually the project manager for the hopper wall. He is now the president of Coffee Strong. And, we were in partnership with the Rebuild North Bay Foundation on that project.
So they were in just a week ago.
Through Ashbridge.
Right.
And so actually the hopper wall was voted the top project, rebuild project for the North Bay Business Journal.
Right.
So next week we'll be going to accept the award for that, for recognition.
Cool.
Yeah. And the project we're working on right now is the entryway project into Coffee Park. And it's the entryway parcels into Coffee Park that now has some beautiful concrete seating walls. We've done phase one and phase two of that project. And phase three we're still fundraising for, and that's what this barn raiser will help us complete the funding gap for that project.
And barn raiser is the name of a wine, a red blend, and Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. Tell us all about the wine.
The barn raiser. I think we talked about this for about a year, Jason and I and Sajiv, the owner. And Sajiv sort of tasked us to, let's do something good with this. Let's put part of it towards charity. And we're very tight with Davis Family Wines, so they were kind of a natural partner.
And Guy Davis is here.
He is here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And he put this all together for us and pretty much knocked it out in an afternoon. He put five or six different permutations in front of us of different blends. And I think we wound up 75% Zin, 15 Merlot, and 5 Petit Verdot.
Yes.
So we could have called this Zinfandel on the label, but we wanted to have the flexibility in the future to do other blends if, you know, the percentages of grapes were different next year. So very happy with how it came out. And I think we've already sold maybe half of the initial parcel in a month. So it's been a really great response.
We put it
out
the week before Thanksgiving. And, yeah, we've powered through.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Over 100 cases.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is more going to be made? How's this working?
Well, once we go through this run, we'll probably put together a new one, I would imagine, early next year to have, you know, to
a
go all the way. We'll kind of leave it up to Guy with what he's got in his magic toolkit there.
Yeah.
So.
And Guy, it's been a while since you've been in, but tell everyone about Davis Family Wines.
Small family winery. We're 23 years old now. Wow. Both my sons work with me. My wife and I live on the vineyard property, and I planted it back in 95, 24 years ago. And between both my sons and I, we do everything vine to bottle. So I'm really fortunate, like all my brothers and sisters out in wine country who get to make wine for a living and take something from the soil and take it all the way to the dinner table and help bring happiness and help families rejoice with, especially at this time of year.
Yep.
But when we can take it one step further and have it benefit others, it really makes it that much more special.
And where are you guys located again?
We're on Front Street in Healdsburg. So we sit right on the banks of the Russian River as you cross the Memorial Bridge coming into town, immediate right on Front, and then about 100 yards down, we're on the right-hand side.
I'd forgotten how long you guys have been around. That is a long time.
Just, quietly doing our thing.
Right on.
A nice bocce court with a view of the river.
Yeah.
Not many wineries can say they've got that.
Big organic garden. We grow for a few different chefs, work with backyard in Forestville.
Right.
And their farmer, Brett, it's an ever-changing landscape there at the winery. It's really fun.
Very cool. And you can get Davis Family Wines at a place I call Bottle Barn.
Yes.
Absolutely.
When they're not sold out.
Yeah. And so how did this all come together? Jason and Guy, I mean, this particular wine, I mean, Barry referred to it.
I think Barry alluded to the fact that literally we went over, spent an afternoon with Guy and his son Cooper. Guy had kind of some ideas of, you know, where we wanted to go with this, and we just sat and tried blend after blend until we found the one that we just thought would absolutely blow people away, particularly at the price point. We wanted this to be affordable. We wanted it to get into people's hands, and it came together pretty easily. We all know each other pretty well, so I think Guy knew what we were looking for before we even got over there.
Sure. Is it only available at Bottle Barn, which is
currently, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That was pretty fun. You know, we had the test tubes out and pouring the beakers and different blends. Felt very scientific. I was very pleased with the whole process.
Art and science come together.
Right on.
And they seem so distant from one another, yet when it comes to wine, they need each other to be magical. So.
And I think the important part of this all, too, was as we were doing this, then, you know, the Coffee Strong kind of, It all kind of came together. It was one of these things that we didn't really know what we were going to do with the Barn Raiser label. And then we met Michelle and Coffee Strong, and it was a perfect marriage to bring all these things together.
Yeah, it really worked out. It was a good time. I actually approached Jason for a different project that we have. It's a welcome home project that we have that it's just a small gift, usually a succulent or a gift card from Safeway or from Epicenter. And I just supporting local businesses, and we approached Bottle Barn to see if they wanted to do something to give a small gift or a coupon or something like that. So he was more than willing to do something for that project. And I mentioned I would love to do a wine. It would be my dream to have a Coffee Strong wine. He says, well,
just so happens.
Perfect timing.
So it was just the right timing.
Let me see the bottle. I haven't really had a chance.
Well, you know, Coffee Park is literally on the other side of the wall, just west
like 100 yards
of our store. 100 yards. So talk about neighbors.
You're our backyard.
Yeah, you know, so.
And a lot of our residents are new, a lot of returning, but a lot of new residents are coming into the neighborhood, so we wanted to make sure that they knew about Bottle Barn that's right in their backyard.
Well, and it's been one of the hardest things since the fires. You know, so many of the residents of Coffee Park were everyday customers. I would see them in and out. And a lot of them you don't see anymore. They moved on somewhere else.
Right.
So we want to make new friends with the people that are moving in now.
Absolutely.
And we want to support small business. I mean, as much as we can, our local people are really important to us.
There's so many great small businesses in that little industrial park there, from coffee shops to automotive shops to, you know, everything. Yep. It's kind of a cool little industrial
park. It is, isn't it?
And, of course, your purchase of this wine called Barn Raiser, it's a 2017 red wine blend, goes for local fire recovery. CoffeeStrong.com is their website. It's called Barn Raiser, this wine. Guy, tell us again how this was made and, I mean, what's the blend?
Well, and to talk about support, we receive so much support from the wine community. As a veteran, I just as we were putting this together, I mean, we were just at the tail end of harvest. So a lot of us, we're a small winery, so we couldn't bottle right while we're bringing in grapes and everything. And people like Chateau Diana in Dry Creek Valley stepped up, gave us an amazing value to use their bottling line and with the filtration. And I have to say, give a nod to Guy Fieri, a local gentleman. I make his Hunt and Ride wine, and he let me tap into some high elevation Old Vines Infandel blocks that I had made for him. And he, at just the cost of the grapes, passed that on to us to use as a building block. And then I donated some Merlot and Petit Verdot that I get from Rockpile. So the intent was really to be a community wine, but and to benefit the community. But then the community stepped up and supported the wine before it was even made. So we really, because we wanted to really over-deliver, this wine is such an incredible value, straight up twice the price in the glass, if not more. And we were able to do that because of the cause and the spirit that Bottle Barn raised. And so this, I'm not surprised at the rate it's selling, not just because of how strong we support our community here in wine country, but the wine certainly over-delivers.
Yeah, there's a little tagline on the side of the label, really small, but it says, a community wine brought to you by the wine community. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this is.
That's like great. Built for Coffee Park by Coffee Park.
There we go. Yeah.
Exactly. I like that. Very cool. What's the price on it at Bottle Barn?
So we're selling it for $14.99.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I think this would easily, if we put it out there at 30 or 35, we'd probably sell through 50 or 100 cases over time.
Wow.
But, the reason it's flying is it's a $30 wine and a $15.
Everybody talks about the aromatics. Just leap out of the glass, and it's just this. It's just going to get better, too.
A little youthful now. I think it'll be really getting going come the spring. And then a year from now, it'll be singing, I'm sure, and probably be good 5, 7, 8 years down. No problem.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is here. Jason Snyder, the spirits guy at Bottle Barn. Guy Davis, who made this, what's it called again?
Barn Raiser.
Thank you. If I can't see it in front of me,
I'm just going to keep bringing it every week, and then you won't forget.
Where's the cue cards?
And the money goes for recovery at Coffee Park. It's coffeestrong.com. Guy Davis made it. Annie and Michelle are here from Coffee Strong. Well,
pretty cool.
Let's wrap this Chardonnay and try the Barn Raiser.
I just wanted to say a brief thing about the Chardonnay. This has been the number one seller from the Harvest Fair. Unbelievable deal for white wine. In fact, I wish we'd do a private label like this maybe down the road. I'm sure you'd be excited by that.
This won the Chard of the Year?
St. Fran, in their category, it was best of class. Chardonnay's up to, I think it was $20. St. Francis, 2017. Gotcha. This is $9.99. I think we've been through 250, maybe 300 cases easily.
$9.99?
Yeah, $10.
This is why Bottle Barn's so successful.
Yeah. Sonoma County on the label. It's not just a California designation with wood chips or, this is like real Chardonnay for $10. So just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, very cool.
An aside.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This red wine blend called Barn Raiser, we shall now try that. And, Guy, how many wines are you guys making these days?
We make about a dozen wines, from sparkling wine through Cabernet. We grow four different varietals on our property. We don't make more than 400 cases of any one thing, though. So truly small, handcrafted lots, which add up to about 6,000 cases total.
Davis Family Wines in Healdsburg. And, you know, we talk about this all the time on this show because there's so many family winemakers now, with the kids coming up, and like yours,
yes,
you got your
absolutely.
Kids working with you, and it's really become a family thing in many, many ways. And some of these families go way back.
Yes, it's such a treat to. I watched it go on as I first started in this industry, and kind of thought how great that would be, and watched generational wineries pass the torch. And both of my boys, by their own choice, have decided to work with me. And it's never a bad day at the office when the two boys are around and we're...
Right on.
Yeah.
That's great.
What about your experience, Guy? I mean, how did you get into the wine world all these years ago?
I put myself through college working in the kitchen for a gentleman who opened a French restaurant, brought the sous chef from his parents' restaurant directly from Paris.
Wow.
My answer to Juan ad. I needed a job to put myself through school, and so I went to school all day and worked 4 to midnight in the kitchen with two crazy Frenchmen, and I was hooked. I was every night at family meal, we shared a bottle of wine and talked about how food and wine were supposed to go together, and the only thing that could get between them was family, and that was just something that has become part of the fabric of our family and my life.
That's a great way to get into this.
I feel so fortunate.
Did you go to UC Davis or anything?
My original degree, while I worked in the restaurant, in the kitchen, was in economics. And so if I'd have paid attention, I probably wouldn't be in the wine industry. But I fell in love with the process. And so I started a little company featuring small family wineries from around the world direct to collectors or consumers.
Wow.
and around the country, and started working in the vineyards and winery for those families to better tell their story, both here and in France. And then started driving 3 nights a week to UC Davis while doing that, and added viticulture and enology to my portfolio.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
History. Yeah.
Good for you.
Jason, what's happening spirit-wise during the holidays here at Bottle Barn?
I mean, a lot's happening right now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm tired. bourbon's hot right now. Local spirits are really hot right now. Redwood Empire, you name it. They're everything. Lost Republic whiskey, Sonoma Distilling whiskey. So, yeah, local products are really hot.
It's amazing how many local spirit products we have.
And dominating the shelves, not only because we want to support local, but because they sell and they're making such good products.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, so it's a wild world out there at the Bottle Barn right now.
Getting a lot of support, too. A lot of these guys are pouring in store frequently and getting a lot of good response.
That's right. We do weekly tastings there free of charge to the customers, and we're getting – this time of year, we almost have one every day.
Yeah, it's every day during December. There's
spirits, wine.
Spirit guy going. So.
Wow. And then the craft beer situation is huge.
Well, that's we could have a whole Bottle Barn for beer. I mean, it's just
a separate building.
Unlike these other products, you can make beer so quickly. So we get new releases every week, every other day, something else is coming out. The can thing is huge right now.
Yeah.
You know, so you get this cool one offs from all these local little
guys
breweries.
That said they never put beer in cans.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get a lot of them in on Thursdays on the Brewhaha show. I mean, there's more cans coming in. On that show.
Pandemonium.
Very good. It's Michelle and Annie from Coffee Strong, coffeestrong.com. Guy Davis from Davis Family Wines, Jason Snyder, and Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn on this California Wine Country. We're celebrating this wine that Davis Family Wines made called Barn Raiser. I made Barry put the bottle in front of me so I could remember the name.
Yeah, testing.
Old and cranky. That's my motto. Okay, Guy, this is beautiful. It's
Thank
a
you.
Red wine blend, yes. 2017. The money goes to Coffee Strong, Coffee Park. And it's a whole situation with so many people involved. And yet, as Jason was saying, it really just kind of came together. And that's how things happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Synchronicity.
Well, I think it's a like-minded community. Everybody's looking out for each other.
Exactly.
And, you know, everyone has their own resources, and everybody pulls together. So.
And you guys have burned through at Bottle Barn how many?
I think about half of the initial run. There's 500 cases total, I think, available. We took 300 on the initial drop, and I think we're halfway through that now.
Which is incredible, considering
in
we
1 month.
Put it on the floor with, you know, initially with not much fanfare.
Not even a month. Yeah.
And, it's...
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's like a $30 bottle in a
50. I'd imagine if I was, you know, a winery and costing out what this really costs to make between labor and the sources and the going rate, easily 30, could be as high as 40, you know, given where this fruit comes from.
And as Guy said, a shout out to my brother from another mother, Guy Fietti, for helping out as well.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. He was just in recently. I've known him since he opened Johnny Garlic's. By the way, did you see what they're doing over there?
Yeah, I did.
It's going to be a
an oral surgeon.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Can we get the drive patio back?
Yeah.
Wow. Mike, I'm going to go get a couple teeth pulled. I'll be over at the drive patio across the street. Wow. I don't know. They're just gutting the whole thing. I don't know what it's
going to
be. I can't imagine what it's going to look like. But anyway, yeah, I started doing Guy's radio spots for Johnny Garlic's in 96, and we've been super tight ever since.
That's
and,
fun.
He still pops in from time to time. Yeah. Good man.
New tequila out.
And he's got new tequila, too.
Really?
I think it just,
no.
I saw a demo going on at Costco.
Right.
A big picture of him, but I think it just came to the market.
Yeah. You know. You'll have it.
We'll have it.
Yeah, of course.
No doubt.
Guy's going to have it at Bottle Barn. Okay, this wine, Guy, is exquisite.
Thank you.
Again, I don't know. Talk about how it was made. Talk about something, and it is Barn Raiser wine.
Well, let me just add a little piece to the story just about Barn Raiser and the brand and the name and where it came from.
Yeah.
Because Barry and Jason had brought the conversation to me May of last year, and they'd had it in the works and talking to their owner even prior to that. And as they explained to us what they were intending to do and really to make this community wine and have it benefit some of the people in our community that really needed support. And we were coming up on, would have been 2 years from the 2017 fires in areas like Coffee Park that were still very much unsettled. And so I had put together some things. I make some wine for Guy Fietti for his Hunt and Ride project.
I did not know that
boys,
until today.
Hunter and Rider. Yeah. And we had some high elevation old vine Zinfandel. All the blocks were over 100 years old. And I spoke to him about it, and he let me have access to some of those to work with as blending components. And I made my pieces available. But as we sat there and talked about it, and while I was putting various blends together to put in front of each other, Jason and Barry were talking a little bit more about the effort and that they were already connected to the folks at Coffee Strong from Coffee Park. And my son Cooper said, what about Barn Raiser? Because we were describing exactly what went on in the communities when someone needed a barn, and the whole community would come together, and then the barn would go up, and it just was a mic drop moment. Everyone was speechless at that point. And so we all went away, and they talked more about it and came back and said, well, we're going to borrow that from Cooper. And,
we beat Cooper to the trademark office.
So it was just that's the way this project has been all the way along.
Just because falls when I, into place. Everybody's
it has. And like I mentioned, there were Chateau Diana and VA Filtration and different companies that every step of the way, as I explained the project to them, like, well, we'll do a part of this and we'll cut the price in half and we'll do. So every little piece we needed, everyone stepped up in our community and facilitated the coming about. So I sort of directed traffic when it came to making the wines, and then Barry and Jason and Cooper and I really blended it. But my son Cole and everybody in the community has really done their best to make this special.
And that is what's so great about our
community. Well, that's we've been talking about this for so long now, about this community and how amazing it is. And everyone helping everyone out, it's just, it's mind-boggling.
It is
incredible.
Impressive.
All right, I'm done.
Well, can we talk about how this wine tastes?
Oh, we're still on the air,
it's
apparently.
Actually good.
Oh, okay. I was heading home. I'm sorry. Yeah, please.
Yeah. I just wanted to say something because Guy did a little tweak at the end with the Petit Verdot that I haven't tasted it in that incarnation yet. And it just was an unbelievable addition. It really
elevated it.
Yeah. I mean, this has more in common to me to a really lush, high-end Cabernet almost with the mouthfeel. It's not kind of that peppery barbecue kind of wine, Zinfandel.
Yeah, I'm getting pepper.
This is
a little pepper.
Yeah, or are you peppered?
Yeah. It became a lot more serious.
Became a serious wine.
You say Kevin. You know what it reminds me of is sort of these serious Italian blends that have Sangiovese, and then they add some of the Bordeaux varietals into
super Tuscan.
So sort of super Tuscan done Sonoma County style. It's
you can tell the Zinfandel is still in there, but the other components really just add this lushness that make it super drinkable now and. You can have it with all kinds of different things.
Well, that was the intent, really, was to use that core of this beautiful Zinfandel, which is such a California grape, and here in Sonoma County especially, I think, is really, to me, and I'm sure I'm biased, but the best Zinfandel is grown right here. And so to access this and have it be a little bit of this high-elevation Russian River old vines in and some from Doug Raffinelli's vineyard in Dry Creek and just the coming together of these great pieces. So the Zin makes it so approachable. Then I could use the Merlot and the Petit Verdot to add that character of a ratcheted up, more elegant, more complex, like a Bordeaux style blend. But then with the accessibility with the lower tannin and things of the Zinfandel, and we got this juicy yet really well-balanced and layered wine. I'm really happy with the way it turned
out. Yes, and you should be, man. It's very impressive.
Is it true that it's going to be flowing from the water fountains throughout Coffee Park?
Absolutely.
Is that? That's what I heard. Is that,
damn well should be.
It's going to be on tap.
Welcome back to Coffee Park, people. Check out the water fountain. Yeah.
We're working on that.
Well, God bless Bottle Barn for all they have done throughout this process. And it's certainly Guy Davis. It's DavisFamilyVineyards.com. 24 years, did you say?
24 years ago, I planted our vineyard.
Wow, man.
Crazy.
Very cool. What's new with Coffee Park and Coffee Strong, ladies? You've already got so much done in just 2 years. It's pretty damn amazing, and you've had so much help, obviously. The people there.
Yep.
You both lost your homes, right?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
And have you rebuilt, and you're back, right, or no?
My house was rebuilt last October.
Wow.
Yeah. Michelle? Got her cabinets.
We just got cabinets in today.
Nice.
Yes,
right.
So very excited about that. So we hope to be in the end of January.
And how many, do you have a number on how many people are back?
We have 1,248 permits that have been issued.
Wow.
So that either means they're in permitting, they're in construction, they have temporary occupancy, or they are final and have moved in.
There's only about 130 out there that are unaccounted for.
Really?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about this for 2 years, yesterday and the day before, actually. Noreen Evans was in the day before, and Roy Miller was in yesterday talking about the PG&E settlement.
Yes.
Which seems a little light to me, I kept saying, but then they explained how everything works. I mean, it's $13.5 billion that is not totally official yet, but it's going to be. I mean, what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, it's gonna be interesting to see how it shakes out, and I think that the majority of us are just taking a back seat.
At this point, you just
can't depend on it. And
well, even Roy was a little confused at one point yesterday.
Right.
This is so intense.
There's a lot of logistics to it.
Right.
And a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And some of it's going to take a while. Because they filed bankruptcy, the bankruptcy judge is and his crew are a major part of this. And one of the cool things is that they're going to force PG&E to get their act together and do a whole lot more. And that's one of the things that they were talking about is going to take some time to figure out exactly how this is going to play out.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're all done. We're sick of this crap.
We are. Yeah. We are. And PG&E just needs to step up their game and make sure that they're giving enough back in their equipment to keep us safe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and they're going to have to spend a lot more than $13 billion to fix their problems.
Right.
you know?
Or everybody ends up like Healdsburg, where they're their own entity.
Yeah, which I'm all for.
Yep. Mm.
God bless Healdsburg.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about possibly us owning PG&E, but that's a whole other can of worms that would take years and years. And
sure. And the learning curve.
The only reason, exactly. The only reason I want to own PG&E is so I don't have to pay my bill.
Good angle.
Hey, don't hassle me. what else did you bring, Bear?
Well, I brought cornucopia goods here.
Ooh. Yes, I see that.
Oh. A little sparkling wine, Pinot Noir, Davis Family. You might recognize that label.
You brought a Tom Simoneau
Windsor Cabernet.
Yeah.
These are all wines that have been doing really well in the harvest fair for us, and you know, it's starting to tail off. A lot of the wines have sold out now, but still a pretty good chunk of them out there. We run it through the first of the year, and these wines are just great for all occasions, including, I was going to say, the Barn Raiser. That's the kind of wine you can take to a casual barbecue and a pretty serious affair because, you know, it's not just a chug-a-lug wine. It's a something that could stand up to some really sophisticated cuisine. Yeah,
we had a Thanksgiving dinner, and it was just fantastic, but with everything. And
Guy, what else would you pair with this particular Barn Raiser?
Well, we, like Jason mentioned, we had it at Thanksgiving dinner, and it wasn't too overpowering for the turkey, but with all the bigger flavors like stuffing and everything was great. But in the meantime, we just had it with brisket. I smoked a Wagyu brisket.
Mike, go to the meat locker and bring up some biscuit, please.
Yes. Yeah. So, and the cheeses are amazing with this wine.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cheeses, yeah.
That would kind of, the tannins would be kind of absorbed by a richer, fattier dish, and all you'd be left with is the lush fruit, which is
part you know what you want. We had someone in before Thanksgiving saying that Pinot Noir is the best wine to drink with turkey. Which blew me away.
Yeah, I would say it's up there. I mean, I recommend frequently Beaujolais, which is virtually a lighter version of Pinot.
Yeah, okay.
And it, as long as the Pinot doesn't get too intense, I think it can go with anything in a Thanksgiving dinner and handle poultry, seafood, you know, salmon, certainly.
Now, Bottle Barn does these events, and your next one is sparkling wine.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant to talk about it because I don't want to upset people, but it sold out in 48 hours.
Go for it.
Sparkling wine. We moved to John Ash Event Center, which I think the food there, in my experience, has been stunning. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about that, and that might be part of why it sold out so quickly. But we'll have between 50 and 60 different sparkling wines from all over the world.
Good Lord.
Wow. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last year for the first time, and it was well-received. And we're going to try and do as many as four of these a year.
So pay attention, people. Yes. This thing is sold out.
Ramp up your Pavlovian response.
Jump on it when you hear about it. The next one. When is it again?
This one's December 19th, Thursday. And then we'll probably fire up again in the spring, March or April. Probably do Pinot Noir or maybe Zinfandel then. And then when it gets warmer, we do a rosé.
Yeah, right.
And
which has been huge.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun because we generally wind up being indoor, outdoor type event.
Right. And you guys, I mean, when it comes to rosé, Bottle Barn is the place.
Yeah, we still have a ton. Probably over, at peak, we were over 100. Now we're trimming it down to about 50 because the 19s will be out soon. So.
Yeah, right.
It's right on the hills.
It's California Wine Country. Dan Berger off today. Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is here. Michelle and Annie from Coffee Strong, coffeestrong.com. Guy Davis from Davis Family Vineyards. And Jason Snyder from Bottle Barn had to split. Explain what's going on.
He had to run off. He is a board member for the Harvest Fair. And Bottle Barn, you know, we've all talked about it at length, that we'd like to get some more energy into the Harvest Fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one time it was really an exciting event, and
huge
not that it's
deal.
Not fun now. We just would like it to be.
It needs a recharge.
Yeah, a little freshening.
Yeah.
So Jason's fantastic to do that, and working hard with the other board members, and I think they're making some good headway. And there'll be some changes down the road, and we're going to put some energy into
it. Our culinary Commodore Clark Wolf has been talking about this for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really want it to just be great. So it's heading the right direction from what I can tell.
Good. So. All right, and we're talking about Barn Raiser, made by Guy Davis, Davis Family Vineyards. The money goes to CoffeeStrong.com, Coffee Park. Again, reiterate. Okay, maybe not reiterate. Look.
Can I go ahead and open this?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
You looked like you were going to go off on a long thing.
Yeah, I know.
There we go.
Thank you.
Now we can proceed.
What does the future hold in store for Coffee Park? I mean, you guys have done so much in 2 years, but what kind of situations do you see happening?
You know, we want to complete the projects that we have started. So the other project that is underway is the actual Coffee Park Neighborhood Park. And so that has been delayed. It was supposed to be done by the end of this year, but now it's looking like the playground phase will be done by March of next year, and the completion of the park will be summertime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good time.
So we're not quite sure what else we have that we want to take on. We're going to kind of let the community dictate if there is something else that we want to participate in and take on.
And we strongly feel that if we do this job right, we work our way out of a job.
Yeah.
That would be total success.
Right. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
We do have the sidewalks on Hopper that we're working with the city on. And, you know, there are some things in the future that are looking at us. We just don't know whether that's something that we have to dive into yet.
Well, how many people are involved in Coffee Strong? I mean, it's the whole area, the neighborhood, right?
Well, it's the whole neighborhood. The board of directors is about 17 to 20 people. So, and the majority of the people are involved in it.
Sure.
In the neighborhood. Right.
Yeah. So you hold meetings with the board of directors?
And we have a meeting
and the
once
monthly
a month.
Meetings. Uh-huh.
We,
and the people show up to...
No, we hold our meetings. We have an hour with the city. The city comes and answers all of our questions, helps us to facilitate things, gets the ball rolling. And then we have a two-hour meeting afterwards. And, you know, we contact people. We let people know. We have a newsletter. We have our website. And anybody has questions about things, initially we were all block captains, and they all know who to call so that we can help them with whatever issue, because everybody's at different stages.
Certainly. I can only imagine.
We also have monthly meetings for Lonnie's monthly neighborhood meetings that was originally started. Lonnie Jolliffe, who's the heads that meeting, she was a standing home, so her home survived. So she wanted to create a group for the people whose homes did not burn down around Coffee Park.
Makes sense.
Originally it started out with that group. And now as people are moving back in, there's people that, you know, different issues that have come up for the people that have moved back in.
Street lights and sidewalks and the road that has burnt garbage cans in it still. That type of thing.
Yeah.
But we are at, out of the little over 1,300 homes, we have 1,000 of them that are somewhere between permitting and lived in.
That's amazing.
So we're getting there.
In only 2 years. It is CoffeeStrong.com. Michelle and Annie, thank you so much, and best of luck to all of you folks out there. Guy from Davis Family Vineyards, great to see you again, man.
Always a pleasure.
It
Steve,
is
to
cool.
Be here.
Thanks to
thank
Jason
you.
Snyder from Bottle Barn, and of course Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
Yeah, hopefully next week if it's not too crazy.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Going in.
Have a great Wednesday night.